Oh, thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Father. We're going to spend some time in the Word of God today, but before we do, I just have a desire that we take a few more moments to surrender to our God and to tell Him how much we love Him. I want you to verbally, wherever you are today, express your love to your God. You know He loved you first. You didn't deserve it. You did nothing to deserve it. But He loved you anyway. And He gave you His best. His best was not too good for Him to give to you. His best was His only begotten Son, Jesus. He offered His best in a most tragic way. The best sacrifice ever. Because He loved you. He loved you so much. He planned every aspect of your life to be good. Everything about His plan for you is good. No matter what happens, you know it's working together for your good. No matter where you go, no matter what you experience, you know it's working together for your good. So come on, wherever you are today, whether in this room or virtual, I want you to surrender yourself to Him and appreciate Him for the love that He has for you. Tell Him, Lord, I love you back. I love you. I can never repay you for all the good that you have done for me. I could never repay you for how awesome you have been in my life. But I want you to know that I love you. I love you with all my heart. I love you with my everything. I love you with my best. I give you glory. I give you praise. I surrender my life. I give you my heart. I give you my will. I give you my choices. I give you my best. I give you my everything, oh God. I give you my everything, oh God. I give you my everything, oh God. Come on, I can hear you. Tell Him that from your heart. How much you love Him. How much you appreciate Him. How much you are thankful to Him. Hallelujah. Ooh, we love you, Father. We love you so much. We love you. We love you. We love you. We choose you above all. We love you because you loved us first. You taught us the meaning of real love. You taught us the meaning of unconditional love. You taught us the meaning of agape love. When we didn't deserve it, when we didn't qualify, you qualified us long before we showed up, before the foundation of the world. You qualified us. You qualified us. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you. We love you. Take all the glory. Take all the praise, oh God. Take all the honor. Take all adoration. And Lord, breathe upon your word. Give us understanding hearts. Let there be revelation knowledge. Let there be illumination. Grant us, God, that our spirits are enlarged. That we're not restricted. We're not constricted. We're not limited. But God, that our spirits are enlarged. Beyond what our minds can conceive, that our spirits are enlarged to lay hold on the revelation of your truth. We thank you, Father. We honor you. We give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name, we have worship. And everybody said, amen. Come on, say living amen. Put your hands together. Bless His holy name. Bless His holy name. Hallelujah. 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 Woo. Glory to God. He's so sweet. He's so good. He's so sweet. He's so good. Amen. Let's take our 2026 confession together and spend a little bit of time in the Word before our time is up today. 2, 3, go. 2026 is my year of supernatural shift, and power is changing hands. The shift is here, and I am taking over. Supernatural, helped, incredible, favored, and transfer of power. This is my crossover, pass over, take over, make over, do over, walk over, and fly over year. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. He neither faints nor is weary. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. There is no one like the God of Israel who rides across the heavens to help me. The eternal God is my refuge, and underneath me are his everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy from before me, and he will say, destroy. I am helped, favored, and blessed. The Lord is my saving strength and the shield of my life. My help comes from him who made heaven and earth. He will not allow my foot to slip or be moved. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord preserves me from all evil in all my going out and my coming in. He is my protective shade and my covenant covering. I sit fearlessly and confidently at the throne of God's unmerited favor, and I soak up his mercy and grace. Praise God, I am helped, favored, and blessed. This is my year of the incredible. My incredible praise to my incredible God is provoking incredible miracles in my life. Strange things, remarkable things, extraordinary things, astonishing things, and unimaginable things are all lined up for me in this season. The story and glory of my life today will be improbable, amazing, unthinkable, and uncommon. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 2026 is my year of non-stop laughter, celebrations unlimited, unending festivities, and round-the-clock jubilation. Adversity will expire, and I will recover. God will have the last laugh and the final say. I'm laughing today, tomorrow, and the day after. Look what the Lord has done. There is no expiration on his promise now. Sorrow is destroyed. Failure is forgotten. Anxiety is vanquished. Fear is defeated. Setback is sent back. Bad news is stale news. Satan is conquered. Jesus is risen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on, laugh with me. Hey. Woo. Woo. In this season, is shifting, and there is a lifting up for me. He lifts the poor from the dust and the needy from the garbage dump. And he sets them among princes, placing them in seats of honor. Is shifting, and there is a lifting up for me. God said, he's giving me treasures hidden in the darkness and secret places of the earth. It's shifting, and there is a lifting up for me from bitter waters in Marah to pleasant streams in Elim. It's shifting, and there is a lifting up for me from forsaken to Hephzibah, from rejected to Beulah. It's shifting, and there is a lifting up for me from beggar to ruler, from loner to owner, from supplanter to contender. In this season, it's shifting, and there is a lifting up for me. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. This is my year of vision shift and generational shift. I see the invisible, and I do the impossible. This is my season of opportunity and open doors. I give my bread to the hungry, and I offer hope to the hopeless. I am anointed to bind up the brokenhearted, to comfort the afflicted, and to set the captives free. The spirit of sacrifice is upon my life. I say yes to your way and yes to your will. My Father, I choose you as my priority, and I make you my destiny. I receive the sweet fragrance of heaven over my life today. The plague is stopped, the curse is broken, and my bloodline is redeemed forever. Hallelujah. I speak life. Lazarus, come forth. I speak life to you, dry bones, come alive. I speak life to every part of my body and my mind, come alive. I speak life to you, cells, vessels, nerves, tissues, organs, systems, limbs, and joints. Come alive in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I speak life to you, dreams, womb, ventures, investment, treasures, properties, ministry, family, partnerships. Come alive in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Come on, take a minute. Speak life. I speak life. I speak life over my peoples. I speak life over God's people. I speak life over my properties. I speak God. I speak life over my destiny. I speak life over my purpose. I speak life in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 2026 is my year of supernatural shift, and power is changing hands. The shift is here, and I am taking over. Supernatural, helped, incredible, favored, and transfer of power. This is my crossover, Passover, takeover, makeover, do over, walk over, and fly over year. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. Woo-hoo. What is that line again? Satan is conquered? Is that what they... Satan is conquered. Jesus is risen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Laugh with me. Go ahead and be seated. Glory to God. Oh, what a good God we serve. How you all doing today? Good?
Yes.
You excited?
Yes.
You happy?
Yes.
Hallelujah. I can see you all look radiant. You look good. You look like the children of a good God. The Lord been good to you. I know the Lord been good to you. The shift is forward. I said the shift is forward. You're not going back. The shift is forward. Say with me, the shift is forward. Hallelujah. All right, you know, in Exodus 14, from verse 13 to 15, Moses was praying. He was telling the children of Israel, the Egyptians you see today, you won't see them anymore, in verse 15. Then he told the people, don't hold your peace. But in verse 15, the Lord said to him, tell the people to go forward. So the shift is forward. The plan of God for your life is that you move forward. The plan of God for your life is that you move forward. There's so many different things about the plan of God for our lives. From the Watch Night service, we've been reading things about the plan of God for our lives. Jeremiah 29, 11, you know what it says, right? I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. And the Amplified, it says, for I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts and plans for welfare and peace, and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. Your final outcome has to be good. When all has been said and good, it has said and done, it has to be good. It has to end up good for you. He said, then you will call upon me, and you will come and pray to me, and I will hear you, and I will heed you. Then you will seek me, verse 13, seek me, inquire for me, require me as a vital necessity. That's a lot of what we're doing during this fast. We're seeking him, inquiring for him, requiring him as a vital necessity. We're yielding our lives to him. We're surrendering all to him. Hallelujah, we're going through a season of sacrifice. The highest sacrifices that we have ever made. He says, and when you do that, you will find me when you search for me. You will find me when you search for me with all your heart. Well, you're finding him. Amen. You're finding him. Glory to God. I want to take a few minutes today and spend some time talking about one of the aspects of the plans of God for our lives. But let me list a few of those things, those general things about the plan of God for your life. I don't know how many of them I get to actually have a release to preach on this year, but you know, I know there'll be some of them that the Lord helps me to take some time to minister on. I may have about 8 or 9 of them, maybe 10, I'm not sure, but let me read them out to you. If you're taking notes, you can write them down, or you can go back and, when you know, listen to the service afterwards. It would all be there. Amen? Number one, God's plan, God's amazing plan for your life was designed before the foundations of the world were laid. It was not devised on the go. It's not an emergency plan. God's plan for you were completely set before you were born. Completely. Number two, I may lose count of the numbers. Just write down whatever you can. Amen. God's plan for you was devised and designed out of his love for you. It is a love plan. That's why it is a good plan. God's plan for you is a good plan. Amen. It is a love plan. I love it. I'm going to spend some time talking about that one today. Number three, Satan can attack God's plan, and Satan can delay God's plan, but God's plan for your life cannot be thwarted or defeated. I'm going to say that one more time. Satan can attack God's plan, and Satan can delay God's plan, but God's plan for your life cannot be thwarted or defeated. Number four, Jesus is the guarantee that God's plan for your life will be perpetual and never defeated. Amen. Jesus is the guarantee that God's plan for your life will be perpetual and never defeated. Christ in you himself is the hope of glory. As long as you have Christ in you, that plan will be established. Amen. Amen. Number five, you have a part to play in the actualization of God's plan. God's plan will not just fall on you like ripe cherries from a tree. You have a part to play in the actualization of God's plan. It will not just happen, but it will happen because you cooperate with it. Let's say it again. You have a part to play in the actualization of God's plan. It will not just happen, but it will happen because you cooperate with it. Amen. Number six, even though crisis, setbacks, detours, and failures do happen, and they are a part of the human experience, God's plan will still stand. That is why restoration is a covenant promise for you. Let's say one more time. Even though crisis, setbacks, detours, and failures do happen, and they are all a part of the human experience, God's plan will still stand. That is why restoration is a covenant promise for you. What number are we now? Number seven, number eight? God's plan includes a posterity plan. God's plan includes a posterity plan. That means it's a plan for your future and for generations after you. It's not only for you, it's for the members of your household, your entire family, and generations yet unborn. God's plan includes a posterity plan. Hallelujah. That's why preservation is a part of the plan. Provision is a part of the plan. Protection is a part of the plan. Glory to God. Write whatever you can. I'm just reading out to you from my notes. What number am I on? Number eight, number nine. Without faith, God's plan will remain a dream. Without faith, God's plan will remain a dream. It will be barren and fruitless. Although the plan is there, but without your faith in God, that plan will remain a dream, barren and fruitless. What number am I on now? Number 9, number 10. God's plan for your life is revealed in his holy word by the Holy Spirit. God's plan for your life is revealed in his holy word by the Holy Spirit. Okay, whenever I can, I'll go back and go over some of those things again. But today, I want to get into the word of God. God's plan for your life is a love plan. It was based on the love of God for you. You remember in Jeremiah 1:5, God said to Jeremiah, he said, before you were in the womb of your mother, not long before you ever did anything good or bad, God's plan is based on his love for you. It's not based on your performance. It's not based on how good you are, what good you have done. No, God's plan. See, that's why agape love, that's why the love of God is called agape. Agape means unconditional love. You don't earn it. There's nothing you can do to earn the love of God. God's love is unconditional. Hallelujah. Remember what he said to Jeremiah, Jeremiah 1:5. Let's read this from the Amplified. He said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and I approved of you. Think about that. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and I approved of you as my chosen instrument. Before you did anything. Before you ever did anything good or bad, right or wrong, he said, I chose you and I approved of you as my chosen instrument. And before you were born, I separated and I set you apart, consecrating you, and I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. That is, you have a place in my holy plan. Even before you did anything to qualify, I made a place for you. I carved out a place for you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Before we ever did anything good or bad, God chose us. Like Adam and Eve, God prepared the Garden of Eden and a beautiful life for the first family on earth. Before they ever did anything to qualify, what did Adam and Eve do? Nothing. This is a revelation for you. What did Adam and Eve ever do to qualify to have been put in that best garden? The best. God just put everything in that garden and put their name on it. Say, you are owners of that garden. Oh, Lord. And they didn't go to school. They didn't earn a degree. Have you read your Bible? They didn't go to college. Listen, they did not even go through the stages of childhood and maturing to adulthood. God could have made them as children now. Couldn't God have formed them as little children and then say, okay, grow up, grow, and learn all the ropes of life, learn how to make good decisions, learn, you know. No! He made them adults. And put them in the garden and said, enjoy. And said, enjoy. That is the full expression of his love and kindness for every human he created. And that Garden of Eden is still available to us today. As the price Jesus paid. Let's go to Ephesians 1:3-6. Let's read that in the Amplified. I'm going very quick. Bear with me. Ephesians 1, from verse 3 to 6, in the Amplified. May blessing, praise, laudation, and eulogy be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. Even as in his love, look at that, even as in his love, he chose us. Even as in his love, he chose us. He actually picked us out for himself as his own in Christ. Before the foundation of the world, think about it. It was in his love. It's because of his love he chose us. Take a minute. Pray this prayer for me. Close your eyes wherever you are. Close your eyes. Put your hand over your eyes. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, help me to get a revelation of the love that you have for me. Father, I pray, let it be a revelation beyond what my mind can conceive and beyond what my mind can handle. Help me to have a revelation of the love that you have for me. Even as in his love he chose us, actually picked us out for himself as his own in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, consecrated, and set apart for him, and blameless in his sight, even above reproach before him in love. See, everything is love. Is love, 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 love. One of the most popular scriptures we all know in the Bible, in the New Testament. John 3:16. Can we all say, well, you all know it? You all know it. For God so loved me. Don't say the word now. Put your name there. For God so loved Kayode that he gave his only begotten son, that if Kayode will believe in him, he will not perish, but he will have everlasting life. Hallelujah. It's all love, folks. It's all love. It's all about the love of God for you. It's all about his love. It's all about his love. Go to verse 5. For he foreordained us, destined us, planned in love. It's all about his love. He planned in love. The plan he made was a plan made based on love. And this love, everywhere you are seeing this love in these scriptures, the word, the original word translated into love there, the original Greek word, is agape. It is God's unconditional love. You don't earn it. You don't work for it. It is far higher than the love of a parent for a child. The love of a parent for a child is stergo. That's family love. It is far higher, far superior to the love of a man for his spouse, for his wife, for his beloved. That's called eros. It's agape love. It's the highest expression of the love of God. It's far higher than the love of a person, a man or a woman, for a friend, a dearly beloved bosom friend. That's filio. Hallelujah. The love of God is far higher than any love that exists in this universe that is human based. The love of God is so high. So it says that right there. Look at it. He planned for us in love. He foreordained us, destined us, planned in love for us to be adopted as his own children through Jesus Christ, in accordance with the purpose of his will, because it pleased him. And that was his kind intent. So that now we might be to the praise and to the I've blotted it out in my Bible. What is this word? Commendation of his glorious grace and favor. I've read it so much. I've underlined on it, so I've blotted out the word. Glory to God. Of his glorious grace, favor, and mercy. When he so freely bestowed upon us in his beloved. In his beloved. The King James says you are accepted in the beloved. That means you are beloved. He says, you are accepted in the beloved. That means you are beloved. You are loved by God. Somebody say, I'm loved by God. I'm just beloved like that. That's it, oh. I'm just beloved. And there's nothing anybody can do about it. I'm just loved. As for me, I'm just loved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I say, as for me, I'm just loved. Glory to God. Glory to God. Why is it important? Why is it important that we appreciate, have a revelation of the love of God? Listen to this. When you are established in the love of God, your destiny on this earth is established. Let's say this again. When you are established in the love of God, your destiny on this earth is established. Let's break it down to this year, 2026. We have all these great, amazing promises. When you are established in the love of God, your destiny in 2026 is established. It cannot be changed. When you are established in the love of God, 2026, it will be a breeze for you now. No matter what happens, you will just be swimming in the love of. Why? Because you are established in his love. You are just established in his love. And when you are established in his love, it takes away all fear, it takes away all panic, all anxiety, all uncertainty, all of these things people deal with. You are just established. This is just everything you experience, you just go, it's good, it's all good, it's all good. Because I'm loved. Amen. Because I'm loved. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I said hallelujah. Amen. This is one of the most powerful prayers Paul ever prayed for the church. That we will become established in the love of God. That we will become, it takes care of everything, my friends. You being established in the love of God is what directly, permanently connects you to the plan of God. You cannot be separated from the plan of God if you are established in the love of God. Amen. You cannot be separated from the plan of God if you are established in the love of God. Because the love of God is an anchor. All you need to know is that God loves you. There's somebody crying somewhere. Somebody is wailing. Someone is depressed. Someone is suicidal. Somebody is going through a dark tunnel. The only reason they are going through that dark tunnel is they don't believe completely in the love of God. I didn't say the reason they are going through problems or the reason they are having difficulties. Every human will have difficulties. Every human will go through issues. Every human will have tribulation. But Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation. Didn't he say that in John 16:33? As long as you are in this world, put that up for us in the Amplified, not in my note, but maybe somewhere later it becomes relevant to some of these, our teachings on the plan of God for our lives. But let's look at it today, since the Holy Spirit brought it up. John 16:33, put that up in the Amplified. Thank you. Look at it. I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. He didn't say if you do bad. He didn't say if you make mistakes. He didn't say if you do wrong. He just said as long as you are in this world, there will be tribulation. And trials, and distress, and frustration. He said, but be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, be certain, be undaunted, for I have overcome the world, though. I have already deprived it of power to harm you, and I have conquered the world for you. I have conquered the world for you. So when you are established in the love of God, you just relax, you just enjoy. I have already conquered the world for you. I told you this is so you may have peace. I love that message. I got to preach it somewhere, sometime in this ministry. The peace of God that passes all understanding. It's one of the greatest strengths that a believer can have. Yes. The peace of God that passes all understanding. So you don't understand what's happening, but the peace of God makes you feel like you understand. It keeps you in a place of rest and composure, and then gives you confidence as though you understand, even though you don't really understand what's happening. And then that rest and that peace and that confidence carries you all the way until you get the victory. See, people fall apart at the onset of trouble Because they don't have peace. When trouble happens, they fall apart. And when you fall apart, then you have given up your victory. Because when you fall apart, then we have to pick you up. And the world is very unfair. Nobody, people pass. Did you read the story of the Good Samaritan? Even priest was passing by. He saw the man who was attacked by armed robbers. What did the priest say? I'm going to pray. It's you and God. The Levite came. Same thing. Levite saw the man attacked by armed robbers. These are the people who are serving God. These are the people. That's why your fast has to be different. This fast this year has to be different. This fast this year, you have to open your eye. You have to look at the afflicted. The grace of God is upon your life to comfort the afflicted. You are anointed to heal the brokenhearted. You cannot walk past. You must not walk past the afflicted. You must not walk past the brokenhearted. You must stop. I don't care if you are going to the temple. I don't care if you are getting late for the service. I don't care if you are going to preach. I don't care if you are the one leading the prayer meeting. You must stop and offer hope. Offer hope to the hopeless. Offer bread to the poor. Offer bread to the hungry. That is your only way to get to the higher place that God has prepared for you this year. When you go through trouble, God gives you peace. And that peace gives you understanding. It makes you feel like you understand what's going on, even though you really don't. But that peace it gives you, and that rest and that confidence carries you until you get to victory. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you are established in the love of God, your destiny on this earth is established. It cannot be changed. It's why Paul prayed this prayer in Ephesians chapter 3. It's one of the most powerful prayers Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 3. Look at it from verse 14. In the King James, it says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love," that is, so that you are established in love, established in the love of God. "You being rooted and grounded in love, you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge." Think about it. To know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. That is, the love of Christ is really beyond knowledge, but you can know it. The love of Christ is beyond knowledge. You can never know how wide it is. You can never know how high it is. Look, sometimes even when you feel like you have hit the bottom, you have hit the limit of the love of God for you, God still comes and he still wraps his arm around you and says, "Come on, son. Come on, daughter. I still love you. I still love you." Somebody is listening to me today. Somebody somewhere is listening to me. You are doubting the love of God. You've looked at situations around your life. They have made you think Satan has suggested to you God has abandoned you. That's a lie. That is a lie. God is telling you today through this service, "I still love you. You are still my beloved. You are still my beloved. I'll still give everything I have for you. I'll still give my best for you. That you may be rooted and grounded in the love of God. That you may know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. So that then you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be glory in the church by Christ throughout all ages, world without end." When you are established in the love of God, there's no limit to what the power of God will do in your life. Absolutely no limit. When you are established in the love of God, it drives away all fear and uncertainty. There's a boldness that comes upon your life because you are established in the love of God. Look at that scripture right there in 1 John chapter 4. Hallelujah. Someone say, "I just know God loves me. I really don't care what the world says. And I don't really care what I see and how I feel sometimes. I just know that I know that I know that God loves me." Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 4. Look at verse 9 and 10 first. He said, in this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Look at that. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Come on. We didn't love him. He loved us first. Yes. Hallelujah. Jump all the way to verse 16. And we have known and we have believed the love that God has for us. See, we know that love and we believe the love. There are two separate things, though, by the way. To know the love of God is different from believing the love of God. Somebody can be listening to this message that I'm ministering today, that the Holy Spirit is sending to us today, and say, oh, yeah, I know the love of God is big, is wide, is without limits. I know the word of God and the love of God, I mean, is a bottomless. I mean, the love of God, I mean, who can measure? Oh, I know the love of God. I know it's big. I know it. But that's different from believing it. Do you believe it? Do you believe that God loves you? Do you believe you are beloved? That you are favored by God? That you are just loved, just like that? You are just loved. You are just loved. God can't stop thinking about you. God can't stop boasting about you. God, every time God thinks about you, God's just like, oh, that's my son. Oh, that's my daughter. He just can't stop boasting about you. Knowing the love is different from believing the love. Because when you believe the love, listen to what he says. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. Verse 17. Herein, and I'm going to read this in the Amplified in just a minute. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Now, you got to write this down somewhere. Right? Because when you read that, sometimes it makes a little bit of a sense, but it only makes half of a sense to you. You see, our love is made perfect in God when we have a revelation of that love, so that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. But I want you to put this down. If you're taking notes, or if you can write this somewhere in your Bible, write this, because I have this written down in my Bible. You have boldness, not only on the day of judgment, but you have boldness today when you are established in the love of God. This is so important. You have boldness, not only on the day of judgment, but you have boldness today when you are established in the love of God. Let's read that verse 17 from the Amplified. Let's read it together from the Amplified. Look at this. Look at what it says. In this union and communion with him, love is brought to a completion and it attains perfection with us, that we may have confidence for the day of judgment with assurance and boldness to face him, because as he is, so are we in this world. The love of God equalizes you with God. So it takes away all fear. God does not have fear, so you can't have fear. Hallelujah. Nothing that happens in this world ever confronts God, make God feel like, what are we going to do about this? How are we going to get through this? That never happens. Go on to verse 18. That's my first alarm. Hallelujah. Go on to verse 18. Look at what it says. There is no fear in love. Dread does not exist. But full-grown, complete, perfect love turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror. Why? Because fear brings torment. Amen. Amen. And it brings with it the thought of punishment. And so he who is afraid has not reached the full maturity of love. He's not yet grown into love's complete perfection. You cannot be established in the love of God and still be drowned by fear. It's not possible. The love of God drives fear out of the door, out of the room. When Satan starts whispering and starts saying some things to you, this may happen to your children. That may happen to your this. And your business may not thrive. Your ministry may collapse. Your health, your body may be. Your kidney may be. Again, you just say, shut up. Shut up. I'm establishing the love of God. He loves me. He loves me. My life is, your life is not a coincidence. If your life was a coincidence, then we are doing trial and error with your life. Somebody somewhere say, let's try this. Let's see what happens with him if we do this. Then you do so like, you know, those things like you hold, those things they hold like, those things that you hold on strings, right? And then they call, yeah, what are those things called? Thank you, puppets, yes. So like, let's make him go here and then let's see how he handles it. And then, if he doesn't do too well, let's push him over here instead. And then, No. That's not your life. Amen. You are establishing the love of God. Your life, God has a plan. You are not on a string like a puppet. Say, let's try this. Maybe. No. Everything that happens in your life has to turn out for good. Everything you experience in this world, on this earth, has to work for your good. Has to work for your good. Why? Because God loves you. God loves you. You are the apple of his eyes. Look at the 1 John chapter 3 verse 1. Put that up for us right there in the Amplifier. Real quick, let's go. 1 John 3 verse 1. Behold, what manner of love God has given unto us. See what an incredible. This is your year of incredible things. Incredible love. I said incredible love. See what an incredible quality of love the Father has given, shown, bestowed upon us. That we should be permitted to be named and called and counted the children of God. And so are we. And so are we. Hallelujah. So we are. Hallelujah. We have God's incredible love. We are the apple of his eyes. Put that up. Zechariah 2:8. We are the apple of his eyes. In order for you to touch me, you have to touch God. And you can't do it. You cannot do it. If you dare do it, you better pray. Put that, Zechariah 2:8, put it in the King James. You are the apple of, or New King James, whichever one we have. You are the apple of God's eyes. Woo! Somebody say, I'm the apple of God's eyes. For thus says the Lord of hosts, he sent me after his glory. Actually, that line is the King James doesn't describe it well. The original there says, in pursuit, God sent me in pursuit of his glory. You are here in pursuit of God's glory. The reason you are here is God wants to demonstrate on this earth what his glory looks like. If you go and read the last prayer that Jesus prayed for the church, he said, God, that the world may see through them the glory that you gave to me from the beginning. You are here to demonstrate the glory of God on this earth. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. You are sent in pursuit of his glory. God, Jesus prays, he said, pray for them. He said, I pray for them that the same glory that I had with you from the beginning, they may see it, they may experience it. If the love of God guarantees you that you will experience glory in your life. I'm not just preaching it, I know it. I'm telling you, I'm not just preaching it. I know it. Everything I'm preaching to you now is not theoretical. It's not like you just read the notes and preach. No, I'm telling you what is true. Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. What I've already handled, what I've already eaten, what I've already experienced. Yes. You are sent in pursuit of the glory of God. You are on a special assignment on this earth. Amen. Woo! Amen. Anyone who touches you, touches the glory of God. He says, touch not my anointed. Do my prophet. No, anybody who tries it, any devil, anywhere who tries it. There is no government anywhere that can oppress you if you are a child of God. Look at the time of Pharaoh. when he gave commandment and said, the women, kill all the children. And these women, these midwives, they refused. He said, no, we're not killing, we're not going to kill them. And then Pharaoh called, why didn't you say, well, these people, they are these Hebrew people, they have covenant with God, they are different. They are special. God said, because they honored him like that, the Bible says God gave them houses. God blessed them. Even in the midst of trouble, you are kept now. I say, even in the midst of trouble, you are kept. You are shielded. You are sheltered. You can't be walking with fear. You can't be walking. Do you know how many of you are walking when you walk? There's you. There's God the Father. There's God the Son. There's God the Holy Ghost. All of you. Who can handle that? And then there are all the angels. There are all the angels around. Who can do it? Who can do it? Just tell them, say, I love you. I'm praying for you. Don't try it. Because this can become the end of you. Moses said to them, he said, these Egyptians you see today, you will never see them again. You will never. Why? Why? Because God loved these people. Let's close. Our time is almost up here. Hallelujah. Amen. I say hallelujah. Look at it. Say, for he who touches you touches the apple or pupil of his eye. Hallelujah. He's loved you with an everlasting love. Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 3. Put that up quick. Jeremiah 31, 3. You are loved with an everlasting love. He loved you before you came. He loved you while you are here. And he will love you after you are gone. You are loved with an everlasting love. He will never change his mind about you. I said, God will never change his mind. The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yea, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. With loving kindness have I drawn you. I will be good to you. I will be good to you and to your family. I will take care of you. Let's read one more scripture. Boy, I didn't get to 1 Timothy. I didn't get to 2 Timothy 1. 9. First. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. Let's read these last two scriptures and close. 2 Timothy 1. 9. Put that up. Put that. I had that on Wednesday. Let's read it again today. Let's read it. King James and New Living Translation. I know we don't have CEV, Contemporary English Version, but we have, let's read it in King James, 2 Timothy 1:9. Look at it. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, not because of what we did, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. God loved you before the world began. Put that up in the New Living Translation. Thank you. Look at it. Thank you, Jesus. That's it. That's the last one. Glory to God. That's the last one. Let's close right here. God saved us. Look at the New Living Translation. God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from the beginning of time to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. That was his plan from the beginning of time. You are just so loved. You are just so loved. Let's close out. Let's close out. Stand to your feet. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Let's read this all standing, everybody. Deuteronomy 7 from verse 6. Glory to God. You are just so loved. You are just so loved. You are just so loved. Woo! Say it with me. I'm just so loved. Say it. I'm just so loved. I'm just so loved. So loved by God. So loved by God. So loved by God. Woo! Let's read from verse 6. For you are a holy people unto the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people. For in fact, you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he will keep the promise and the oath which he has sworn unto your fathers, has the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the hand and to the house of bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God, He is God, He is faithful, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandment. Jump all the way down to verse 13. And He will love you. And He will bless you. All these promises in 2026, they will come to pass in your life because God loves you. God loves you. He will bless you. He will love you. He will bless you. He will love you. He will bless you. And He will multiply you. He will bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your land, your corn, your wine, your oil, the increase of your flocks, the flock of your sheep, the land in which He has swore to your fathers to give you. You will be blessed above all people. There will not be male or female barren among you or among even your cattle. The Lord will take away from you all sickness, and He will put none of these evil diseases of Egypt upon you. Why? Because He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Oh, He loves you. Put your hands on your eyes. Wherever you are, say, Father, in the name of Jesus, open my eyes to see. Help me know the depth of your love for me. Help me. Give me a new revelation, new understanding of the depth of your love for me that is not based on anything that comes or goes. It is an eternal love. You have loved me with an everlasting love. Lord, help me know that love and help me receive that love and help me believe that love. Help me, Lord, to walk in the conscious revelation of that love. God, that everywhere I go, every waking moment, help me to be remembered of this reality that I am loved by God. I'm loved by God. I'm loved by God. Go ahead. Thank Him for His love for you. Thank Him that He loves you. Thank Him He loves you. Thank Him. Come on, come on. Go ahead. Thank Him. Talk to Him like you really believe His love. You know, when somebody loves you, you don't just act indifferent. When somebody loves you, you appreciate their love. You say, thank you for loving me. You say, I thank you so much. Thank you for loving me the way you do. How can you love me that much? How can you love me that much? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's what you ought to say to the Lord right now. Thank you for loving me that much. 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 Come shine, come rain, you love me. Come high, come low, you love me. Come good, come bad, you love me. You love me. You love me. You love me. Thank you, God, for loving 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 me. Hallelujah. Now take it one step further before we close out. Take it one step further and declare it. Because He loves me, everything in my life will be good. It will be good. Everything will be good. My health will be good. My mind will be good. My body will be good. My career will be good. My family will be good. My ministry will be good. My finances will be good. My possessions will be good. My relationships will be good. My future will be good. Because He loves me, everything about my life will be good. Everything about my life will be good. Because He loves me. Because He loves me. Because He loves me. 2026 will be good. Because He loves me. This year is already good. This year is already good. It's the spirit of love. Hallelujah. Spirit of God's love moving through the atmosphere. The spirit of God's love. The tenderness of the Holy Spirit. The comforting embrace of His powerful presence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We take it all. We take it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We take it. Come on, hold somebody's hands. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's close out. Before we share the grace together, look at that person you're holding. Tell them, you know God loves you. You know God loves you. Remember it all through this week. Remember through this month. Remember throughout this year, God loves you. Don't you ever forget, God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you.